Hello. Welcome to the Chris Chamberlain podcast. It's been a while. It's been probably over a year, maybe less than a year. I don't know. It's been about a year. I've been doing other things, mainly working on various TV shows as a production assistant, which has its moments. I'm currently looking for alternative employment. I have met some cool people doing that though, and one of which is a guy called Danny Ahl, A-H-L, it's a weird surname. He says it's a weird surname. I think he said it was like one of those Coney Island surnames or something that someone decided for them when his ancestors arrived as immigrants. Anyway, that's pretty irrelevant. Moved house since the last podcast, still in LA, and live in a different neighborhood, not as close to the beach. This is how echoey the front room is, and this is me with a cold as well, ever so slightly, a little bit bunged up. I've been working on a podcast with my brother from another mother, Alfred, the guitarist in Whiskey and the Wilsons, and the artist also known as Thunderstrand, who provides the music for this podcast. We have these like long 3-hour talks on FaceTime or whatever, it's WhatsApp or anything like that, and we sometimes record them, and so I'm sort of compiling an episode that is those edited together, and we are planning on going through the tracks on the Thunderstrand EP, because there's some cool songs and there's some cool stories behind some of those songs. We're also planning on getting together when I go back to England at the end of the summer to do some playing together, and we're doing like an email project at the moment. Alf and Joe, the other member of Whiskey and the Wilsons, Joe Wilson, who does the illustration for the Thunderstrand art, you know, the EP, he made the artwork. He's an amazing dude. He's another incredibly good friend, and an amazing artist and sort of jobbing illustrator. Anyway, we're all going to get together and play some music, but Alf and Joe got together and recorded some songs that they've emailed to me, and I'm sort of getting them into my head to provide some worthwhile drum tracks for them. This intro, an attempt to be concise and more flippant and less rigid and professional than the previous ones has turned into a long rambling thing, but you know, I've been out of the loop for a year. You're probably all really eager to know what I'm up to and what I'm doing. A lot of yoga, mainly doing a lot. I like to do that every day. That's fun. It's kind of hard and gets you out of yourself and sort of shakes off the lazy, what's the best way to put it? The part of your mind that doesn't want to do stuff. That was an amazing noise. That lazy sort of irritable kind of, it's too hard kind of thing. In your mind, it's all mind. So it's all like some meditation kind of thing, some moving meditation. The point of it is to focus on your breath, concentrate on that, and then do what you're told and move in a strange way. So that's pretty good. So I've been doing a lot of yoga, doing a lot of TV stuff. Some of the TV shows have aired. Some of them are yet to air. I was a small cog in some of these things, and I learned a lot, and it was fun. I'm trying to think what else. In terms of an update, I went to Thailand. My wife and I went on our honeymoon to Thailand at Christmas. We had some adventures there. It was amazing. saw some incredible things and rode some elephants and ate some pretty awesome street food and some good restaurant food as well. I think that's kind of one of my main hobbies now, is eating. Not always nice restaurants, but, you know, just eating good restaurants and eating good food and making good food. It's a passion of mine for sure. So anyway, Danny and I got together. I managed to get some tickets for At the Drive-In, the band, who were recording a segment for the Jimmy Kimmel show, who I managed to get a high five from. That was fun. We were stood right next to where he comes out and does his piece to the camera in front of the stage. And so I said to Danny, I'm going to give this dude a high five as he walks out. And I did. So that was fun. I was the only person that gave... I was the recipient of the only high five on that day, from Jimmy Kimmel. I always hesitate because I always get the Jimmys confused. So yeah, I got tickets to that, and I thought, who is available at 4 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon? And Danny was the first person that sprang to mind. So I went round to his, we hung out, we spoke for an hour, and then we went to At the Drive-In, and then went to In-N-Out on the way home. And that was awesome. We had a good time, and we're going to do some more stuff together because we get on really well. We can kind of work in a comedic fashion, where we just sort of riff and spitball, I guess the Americans would call it, and have fun. So there's a little bit of that in here. Enjoy the chat. It was a very lighthearted chat. Danny wanted to kind of hone some of his comedy chops that he does. He's kind of taking that seriously and sort of trying to move into that industry. It's something I think he's really good at and would excel in, because he's very charismatic, especially in sort of a more of a public forum and talking and addressing people. I hope you enjoy the talk. I want to get some more of these talks, these podcasts, up and going. So we'll see how that goes. Enjoy.
Yeah, this is pretty good. This is my thing.
I haven't used it in a while. Clearly. Right?
This is a wind jammer.
Yes.
That's what they call these things. And, turn up the mic there.
Yeah, it's pretty chilling. It's all USB. As long as...
Buddy socks.
Buddy hangs out.
Fuck us up. Bud, what?
Buddy socks.
He has socks. He has socks.
He has on
each
socks.
Paw. Each one, if you notice. We actually stole that from my mentor. He has a dog named Bobby Socks. We used to call him Buddy Jones. And then
that's
someone
a
pointed.
Name.
I know.
Because there's nothing
I would write songs to it, like 3-chord songs on the guitar. And, then someone pointed out that he has socks.
I think that's how Weezer started. They started like...
Running. Really?
Yeah.
I love Weezer. Now. Have you seen Weezer live ever?
Never.
They're performing like soon. And I'm starting to wonder if they're one of those groups like... I don't know when I'll get to see them next time. With how many more albums can Weezer really plug out there, you know?
I'm impressed that they're still doing albums because... And they're still playing because they're doing like festivals of for kids.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
they're on like regular festivals.
They're doing regular.
Though.
They're doing festivals with the people. What are they called? Those two people, the Chainsmokers.
Right.
The Chainsmoking.
Do you like the Chainsmokers?
I can't say I'm jazzed about them particularly.
They have a format that people are like cracking down. And just making
what,
fun
like
of their music.
3 chords.
Yeah, right. The chord progression they do in every song. And but they have hits. They do what society is wanting them to do right now.
It's not about being massively creative with your music to get hits. It's about like, yeah, we'll just keep it simple and catchy and make sure someone listens. There's no intros in music anymore.
No intros?
There are no intros.
I'm pretty sure I've heard several songs like, with intros.
And then they just start singing. That's it. That's how songs go.
But I can find several songs that have a break in it. So like, at one point, it was a lot calmer to eventually need to break, have a breakdown.
Yeah, but a breakdown is like... It's a
build-up.
There's a build-up to a breakdown, and a breakdown is like a thing to slow down the reveal, you know? They're like the big payoff.
Right.
There's a payoff. But
right, the big payoff.
As for like intros and just needing to like catch your attention immediately.
So what music are you listening to right now?
We're
going to see At The Drive-In tonight.
We're going to see At The Drive-In.
And
have you ever even heard about The Drive-In?
I've heard them. I know what genre they fall in.
What genre?
But they were never one of those bands I listened to. Like an alternative, like punk rock kind of sound. Because I listened to all those other bands. Like Gym Class Heroes has a song called Taxi Driver. It's like 2 minutes, 18 seconds long.
Right.
In it, they list like 18 band names, like just reference them in the song for lyrics.
Okay.
And At The Drive-In was one that I'd always go, oh, that's one of the bands in this song.
That's a band.
But I never listened to them.
At The Drive-In were like a bit before this like punk rock.
Like punk pop kind
of? It was like late 90s, but they're from El Paso and it was more like broken, angry, sort of not from a wholesome place like a lot of the kind of like there was heroin involved with At The Drive-In, and there was apparently like rumor that people in that band died.
Oh,
and
so we're not seeing all original members tonight. If members of the band died, then we're seeing them tonight.
I think one of them left, so I think, but it's like they're
so none of them died.
I think it was the sound manipulator
or something like that.
Tragic.
Like,
yeah, the sound guy.
I mean, not making light of that. That's awful. He never made the album cover, though.
Well, was he in the liner notes?
He's the fourth guitarist for Green Day.
Yeah.
You've never seen anything.
No, but they're like more of a cult band, I guess.
I can see that.
They had a record in 1999, I think it was. Called Relationship of Command, and it was like such an important album for the whole like hardcore
scene.
Yeah, but because it wasn't hardcore, it stood alone. It was more like real heavy rock. I place it up there with the first Rage Against the Machine album.
Oh.
I listen to that record like once a month, and it's been out for almost 20 years. I went to see At The Drive-In just before I moved here in London, at Brixton Academy, or the O2 Academy, whatever it's called, and my ears rang for 2 days.
Oh, but you have an idea what we're in for then. Like, they're good performers, fun live.
There's a performance, I'm not sure if, like, you want to bring the, if you want to, like, pull it up right now. There's a performance on Jules Holland, which is a live, like, BBC show, a performance, like, the whole thing is like, he's like, hello, welcome to Jules Holland. He kind of sounds like that as well.
Okay.
I do a pretty good Jules Holland
I'm
impression.
I'm picturing it.
C6 Steve. And he does. And ladies and gentlemen, At The Drive-In. And they do this performance and you'll see it.
What was this guy's name? You got to spell that.
Jules,
one.
J-O-O.
J-O-O. There we go,
there
Jules
go.
Holland.
So like, this performance is...
I want to hear this. There we go. Yeah, like, I can get behind that song.
This is their biggest hit. This is like... So this is the main guitarist. Listen to his guitar. Like, 10 seconds into the song, it's already acting.
Okay, I gotta hear this Jules guy.
Yeah.
I want to hear this guy because I want to put it to your impression.
Ladies and gentlemen,
All right, that's pretty good. So we think, right now anyway. Now let's hear the real thing. I don't want an original piano short.
I have really had a fantastic
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's a very intimate relationship.
A very intimate relationship. He used to be in a group in the 80s whose name I can't remember now. They did a song called Pulling Muscles from a Shell.
Fun video.
But yeah, that video at the end, like, so he gets given another guitar during that performance and he knocks that one out of tune. And then the lead singer grabs a chair, throws it up in the air. And it's like pandemonium. And then everyone's like, what the fuck did we just see?
And everyone like stood up from their chairs at that moment.
Like, whoa. And then it cut the camera, like, because the whole idea of the show is like the camera's in the middle and all in the, around in a circle is band after band after band. So at the beginning, the camera just goes round, like panning round to like introduce each of these bands, and they're all like jamming on the same song. Mm. And then he like follows the camera and goes, "At the Drive-In," or "Chainsmokers."
Chainsmokers.
And then so after each performance, the camera just turns. And it turned to Robbie Williams. Do you know who Robbie Williams is?
I know who Robin Williams is. No, I don't know who
completely
Robbie.
Different.
Robbie but Williams. Robin Williams, someone probably knew him by Robbie Williams. So that's not too far of a stretch, maybe. I'd imagine.
I'm sure.
Robbie?
I'm sure,
like Margot Robbie?
Probably called Robbie at some point. Hey, Robbie. He was like, that's not my name.
I'm Robin Williams.
I'm Robin.
That's not.
Hey, I just got an audition. That's good. That's another one. That's
so
two for...
You, before I rudely interrupted this...
This, get back on your thought.
What we were chatting about with...
life?
With life. I was like, hey, let's record this. And
yes.
Then we started like acting.
And here we are now.
Because now we're doing... So you're doing auditions.
I am transitioning to commercial acting. I'm pursuing my dream.
Sorry,
and
I was looking at my phone while you were talking about.
It's fine. It's the ironic thing. It's a dream, but it puts people to sleep.
Yeah, it's weird.
So my dream, pursuing comedy, and I'm developing... I'm trying to work on comedy through improv, stand-up, and I'm not funny yet, so I can't really make a career in comedy. But people tell me I'm good-looking, so it's like, I'll do commercial act. I'm still unemployed, so we're working on it. But yes, I got another... audition, which is dope.
Are you gonna get funnier? Is that the? I feel like in comedy, like you just have to do it, and then you get burnt so many times that you just like lose the ambition, and then whatever comes out of your mouth, as long as you like carry on looking at the world in a certain way, it just gets funny.
Will I get funnier? A lot of men, I'd say it's safe to say, a lot of men in this world, the average man thinks about sex 19 times a day. That's a stat.
Are you doing a bit right now?
No.
Right.
Oh, me? No way. The average man thinks about sex 19 times a day, and the average man is not that good at sex. Like, a lot of average men just aren't good at sex. I think about comedy way more than the average man thinks about sex. And I'm so like, that's...
So
we'll see.
Yes,
we'll see. I'm a comedy perv right now. We'll see if I figure it out. But this appears to be my first audition that I've gotten through my talent agency, which is cool.
What's talent agency? What's the deal with that? What do you do?
So, to become an actor, it's as simple as
become
saying
an
that.
Actor.
To become an actor. No, it's as simple as saying that, though. Like, unless you start, and then you got to put together your resources, your profile. So I had to make websites on casting profiles, like Actors Access, Los Angeles Casting, Casting Frontier. There's
you have
more
to make
backstage.
Like,
yeah,
a MySpace page. On
pretty
MySpace.
Much, you have to make a bunch of MySpace pages and try and gather as many friends quickly, but. When I was making my profile, you mark down if you're looking for representation, where you're at as an actor. And I had my profile open for agencies. I got reached out to by an agent, an email. It brought me in for an interview, gave me some copy to read. I crushed it. No, I'm just kidding. But I did do good, and he's like, I want to bring you on. So
you're like, boom.
I signed a year contract with a talent agency. I have friends who have worked in casting for... comedy sitcoms and other TV shows, and he assured me it's a good agency.
Oh, okay.
So the fact that they came to me was like pretty dope. I paid to get good headshots done.
Right.
And it's worked out for me. So like through that, this is my first audition through them, and I've maybe had now 8 before this. So within this, I signed with this agency April 24th, and I probably got signed with, like, they, I got all my stuff registered and set up through these websites probably like April 10th. And then I got reached out to really quick. In the contract, I actually signed it like the 19th, but in the fine writing, it's the 24th is the day. Anyway,
yeah.
So it's slowly starting to click, which is like good because it's a very, you know, I mean,
I did so cast, I did some casting that, on this show that the Declassified that
right.
Just like
I saw your guys' advertisements. There were casting things on websites really? For Declassified. $150 for 8 hours or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, nah, I'm good.
Nah.
I don't want to show up to the office
I was
and everyone's
in it.
Like,
I was
you were in
I'm
it?
In Declassified you, so, a few times.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll recognize him from CNN's Declassified, the latest season coming up.
But,
it's Chris Chamberlain.
They're all the recreations are blurry.
So, oh, so you don't even... So what?
So
what's even the point of a
even,
casting person then? Like, that person will look really good as a blob. I can just tell by
well,
their face.
Yeah, it's like they're all kind... They just have to, like, reminisce, be reminiscent of the person.
Right.
Because a lot of the time, the interviews with the agents... So just to explain, Declassified is a show. It's an hour-long documentary focusing on either a case of espionage or spying... Or, like, the one's a plane hijacking, so it, like, talks about that story, and we went to these government offices, the FBI building, the DEA building, all these different places, and interviewed case officers. They explained the story. They're the storytellers.
Right.
And then they cut to recreations. So I was a neighbor in one of them.
Really?
I, like, give a wave. Hey, hello.
Hello there.
Hello. I was a man in a business meeting, like nodding at a computer presentation. Very interesting.
Ah, yes, yes.
But then I also got like a role, an actual part.
You had dialogue. You had
no
lines.
Because there's no dialogue.
Oh.
But there is...
There's a narrator. As the man was turning away from his desk, he noticed the prosecutor, the perpetrator.
Exactly. No, so the people are telling the stories, and one of them is about, like, this spy that coerced his son into becoming a spy while he was in jail. And he's like, hey, could you just go and see the, like, Russian, what's the word, the Russian embassy in Mexico and meet with this guy and just give him this piece of paper. And this guy was like, yeah, okay, Dad.
That.
And I was that guy.
As funny as that is, that sounds like the Bluths out of Arrested Development.
I've never seen Arrested Development. Don't give me that.
Here, I'll explain the whole plot to you right now. Never mind then.
But yeah.
Dumb reference. It doesn't even make sense. I would have had to
Don't bring up references that I
should have known that you hadn't watched a hilarious, funny...
I watched Parks
Ahead
Rec.
Of its time. Oh, you've watched Parks... Let me guess, you've watched 30 Rock also.
Yeah.
And The Office.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I haven't watched Parks and...
No,
I've watched Parks and...
Is this snobbery? Is this...
No. Dude, because here's
you
the...
You really the wire.
Here's the hypocrite right here. I haven't seen all of The Office, and I haven't seen...
I worked
30 Rock.
Night reception at a recording studio, and it was basically like... 15-hour shifts overnight with the internet. So I watched a lot of The Office.
Oh, got it. I was wondering where you were going with it. It's like, was the job like The Office? Did you work with paper for 15 hours?
I didn't just watch The Office. I lived The Office.
That's what I was waiting for. That's what I wanted to hear.
I don't need to see a TV show about an office.
I lived it.
That's
good.
I've had a couple of jobs where I've lived it. I'm sure I'm just like, Jesus Christ, where am I? I'm in a TV show right now.
I need an example. You brought it up.
This Country. I'm just like, what?
This Country's a job to you now?
Well, it feels like it sometimes.
I'm sure it does. Trump is president after all.
Oh, you had to go there.
Dude, I'm not one of those white guys, all right? Listen.
I'm not sure what's worse. Is the white guy that's like, you know, Trump's really going to save this country. Or the white guy that's like, he's ruining this place.
What do you mean you don't know which one is worse?
I don't know which one is worse because they're almost as insufferable as each other.
As one white guy less white than you, white guy.
How are you less white?
You're British.
Nebraska.
You are naturally just more white.
No.
No, totally.
There's a different thing. I can walk into the hood in LA.
I can cover
my... Okay.
all right, guys, what's going on? And they're like, hey, where are you from? And
I'd be like, we could play this sucker. I could at least...
Mate.
Oh, mate, on mate. Tough. On tough, mate. Don't even. Don't even. Oh, you can drop me off at South Central and I'll be fine, mate.
Yeah, don't you worry about
it. Oh, eh?
Hey, my God, it's Rachel Girl!
Oh!
But I'm a friend of the brown people, okay?
What? And I'm not? Oi! Oi! Anyway, it's not just me who thinks this. I would say society. I mean, British people are the whitest of white, my friend.
We are, but...
See, you just admitted it.
No, but there's a cultural thing in England, especially in London. Like, I've spoken to other people from England that I know that I have had prior contact with before this, and even people that I don't know that I've met here, and they're like, what's with all the like racism and segregation here? Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, everyone kind of, but there's a cultural like bunching that happens, especially in big cities.
We're all just in our big bubbles, coast bubbles. We're not real America.
Okay, so you're from Lincoln, right?
I'm from Nebraska, like the nitty gritty of Nebraska. 1,200 people in a town. You okay. know when they say if you blink, it's one of those towns.
Okay.
You'd have missed it. You just blink. You blunk.
How many... I mean, I don't want to get into like the populace right now. But
all right. That'll take all day. We can count to 1,200, I think, no, right? I
mean, what percentage of those are any other minority other than white?
Oh. I'd say like 8, maybe.
Just out of 1,200.
Yeah, dude. There's maybe like... Well, so, think about it. If it's a town of 100 people and I say there's one Hispanic person, that's 1%.
Yeah.
There's maybe
so
20 Hispanic people in North Bend.
So that would probably come up to about 8%.
I'm a mathematician.
Like 4 families, mm-hmm. that's it. Well,
if you're lucky. Hispanic. And how far are we reaching out of the families. District? Which district are we... If there were more Hispanics, the population would be way bigger.
Yeah.
That's probably racist. I shouldn't have said that.
I don't think it's racist. You're just like...
Schuyler, Nebraska is a town 14 miles west of North Bend, Nebraska. There was a bill that passed in Arizona a few years ago. Man, I can't even think of the proper term of it. But it technically gave police the right to stop over anyone who looks like they could be illegal.
Right.
That got passed in... That got passed in Arizona, in Phoenix, Arizona, and then Fremont, Nebraska, a town 15 miles west of North Bend, or east, and then to the west of North Bend was a town where the majority of the population, over 60%, is Hispanic, Schuyler, Nebraska.
So, like, both of these places, they're just stopping everyone all day long. Does anyone get anything?
No, they don't stop. I mean, it got passed, and a lot of people were pissed, but, like... People are still.
That's like the anti-terrorist stuff. Like
yeah, stop and pretty much. Kind of yeah, thing. Exactly. No, it's like that. So
it's
like,
a bit Muslim. Mm.
Has anyone ever asked you for your green card?
Hey,
fancy talking boy, where are your papers at? You should hand over your papers. Pull them out of your pocket.
We got ourselves a book reader. Oh,
where are your glasses at, nerd? We know you're hiding them.
Yeah, never. Actually,
okay.
Never happened.
Well, I mean, Trump is president. I would just prepare yourself for that.
It's only a matter of time till they start, like, yeah.
It's only a matter of time till he gets impeached, dude.
This seems to be the theme. I've actually given up like following the news.
Yeah, it's so fucking dumb.
I've been like.
Do we want to try and curse or not curse? I'm sorry.
Oh no, we
doesn't matter. We curse. Yeah, we're dirty boys. Yeah. All right, you've been working. We're I interrupted boys. You.
Working in TV for the last, basically, the year. And all it is people kind of complaining about the news.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, I'm just going to not... Because I don't really have a voice.
Oh, you didn't watch 20 minutes of CNN that day to give your whole perspective on everything political?
Exactly. So I...
Huh. Get informed, dude. Get woke. This is... Right? Oh, get man. Woke. Yeah, woke up already.
Woke up. Oh, my God. I'm like, look, if I manage to, like, pick up some news, I would just be like, oh, well, isn't that a thing?
But the by avoiding it, or not avoiding it, but like just not making an effort to seek it out.
Yeah, because you're not like ostrich head in the sand. You're not like out of your way.
Yeah.
No. See, I don't care what Hillary Clinton did.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like,
you're not doing that.
Oh, but you just. But by doing that, I'm like making it. I'm just.
It's kind of giving it its own life.
Forming. Thing. Well, I'm not forming an opinion that I can stand by.
Right.
And even really discuss, you know, because it's. It's pointless, really is. And so many people...
The constant bickering between people that leads to nothing.
Exactly.
Is point... Yeah.
And so...
It's the worst.
I'm kind of like, well, if I'm not, like, sipping on the crazy juice, I can't have any kind of reaction from it.
Yeah, that's very true. When it comes to it.
So I'm just like, Trump, eh? He's a funny guy.
And you worked in reality TV, am I right? So those people love to fucking bitch about everything. It's funny, drama from reality TV follows into the office. Even, like, far away from camera, it gets into the offices, it gets into the accountants' heads. Like, that drama is everywhere from reality TV.
It's, I think there's, like, I mean, I wouldn't be the first person to say this, but if people that work in TV kind of secretly want to be... I mean, you obviously joined a casting company, so there's definitely a bit of truth there. But people that work in... And, like, even myself doing it, I'm like... Yeah, I'll be on TV. That'd be fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But, yeah, it's like, it seems like until something else better comes along. And then the other people that, like, get past that are the, like, people that manage to just stay in it and give up their lives and become, like, an executive producer on something.
Yeah.
But even then, sometimes, well, no, it's like they get so powerful behind the camera that it, like, being in front of the camera doesn't matter. But even doing casting for, like, a week, I was like, wow, I'm glad I'm not trying to be an actor.
Yeah.
You know?
From the audition, it always sucks when you're, like, and people always say, like, yeah, it's awful, you sit in a room with people that look like you, or I haven't experienced that yet, but I've experienced, like, oh, fuck, that person is better looking than I am. They're going to get this part.
Like,
they're
grading.
Oh, they're better. They're way more fit. This was looking for an athletic person. They fit that way better than I'm an average. I'll walk myself out. Thank you for even the consideration.
I thought Master of None, the Aziz Ansari show.
Oh, that starts back tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Because today is May 11th, 2017.
Way to date the recording.
What? There are things we're talking about that, you know, in 2020 they'll be like, those insensitive pricks, how could they even talk about Trump? Didn't they know he's mentally handicapped?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well,
I'm just covering our bases here.
You have some coverage there.
You're really, welcome.
Yeah. I mean, he is.
I know.
Oh, my God. I've got
no.
Oh, shit. Eventually.
This just breaking in.
Chris has an opinion.
My God. Chris Chamberlain. You know him from CNN's Declassified says.
Did you practice your
this?
Announcer voice?
No.
When you were on sports radio?
Oh.
Do you have a sports radio voice?
No. Sports radio is more you can just talk as yourself. Like, I had a radio voice for Top 40.
What does that sound like?
It was just me, a little higher pitched, louder. Like, Top 40 pop music. Popular music.
So you do the charts?
I used to.
Oh, really?
I did. Lincoln, Nebraska, the second largest. I feel like I should give this detail because if you don't know, you're...
Well...
Lincoln, Nebraska, second largest...
Mainly English people are probably going to be listening
right.
to this because...
Oh, so your mates?
Yeah, probably. Well,
okay.
I have like two.
listen up, you two. Lincoln, Nebraska, second largest town in Nebraska City. It's... The market's not big, not that big. But this was the number one station in Lincoln, Nebraska, 106.3 KFRX. That's where I got my start in broadcasting and, like, just working in entertainment. I started as, like, a morning intern from, like, 5:30 to 10 a.m. every day, unpaid, and then worked your way up to do part-time stuff. And then I became an on-air personality through them. Then I started running a soundboard for the local ESPN station. So then... And then I just worked my way up through this broadcast company that had six different radio stations, whether like running the boards for a remote broadcast where we'd have personality, like a soundboard, a mixer, you know. But a very simple mixer, not like, you wouldn't even have 26 channels on it. It'd be like 14 channels, here are these knobs up here, turn it on, push the thing up, their mic's on, now talk. And then just play elements on the, you know, like, we need that audio from that interview. All right, pot this computer pot up, turn it on.
Gotcha.
Very basic stuff, but yeah, so that was like my start into broadcasting. And the coolest thing, if I'm talking too much, tell me to shut up. I used to do this.
The point of this is to talk.
Right. So the coolest thing about...
This would be a fun podcast if I tell you, hey, Danny, you're talking too much.
I know, right? Well, you got to talk too.
Yeah, I know.
But so I'm going to... Daddy's going to...
I'm going to talk loads before this.
Like, oh, and then so you can just edit and like cuts of me. I'm like, I think that's neat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, complete off-tone totally too. Like, agree. Did you know that I did... Yeah, I did know that! The cool thing about working at this radio station is the number one station in town. The number one morning show. Like, me being as an intern, I was already, like, a small celebrity in Lincoln, Nebraska. Wow, I would show up places with this guy who was the morning show guy.
Like, but car dealerships.
It came with perks. You'd walk into, like, restaurants. They'd know who you're with, and they'd hook you up with something.
Wow.
Like, and that was my...
That's enough to some people.
I'm 20 years old. Like, yeah.
And you...
So I'm in college at the University of Nebraska, broadcast. It's a top 10 journalism school in the nation. It was at one point. But, so here I am taking classes every day, but I already had, like, in the biz job. Yeah. So it was kind of cool, like, that dynamic of, here I am in class learning how to do some of the things that I'm already doing in the professional world. And, like, that, so there were some very few classes that I was, like, the kid who already knew what was, oh, yeah, I know about it.
Yeah, yeah. You were the superior.
Don't give a dry lead. You're gonna blow it. You know, like, no... Broadcast 101. Shit like that.
So yeah, you had some experience. Yeah, man.
I got to MC concerts. I had my own night show from 6 to midnight. Interviews. You know, some musicians, some actors, a comedian. Gerard Carmichael, who's like, he's a huge stand-up comedian right now.
Oh, right, okay.
He's huge. He just did his second HBO special, hour-long HBO special, and he's so funny. I got to interview him once and like...
Right.
So all that stuff I got to do through that, okay. Like Big Sean emceed his concert, got to like introduce him on stage. So everything with that, I was like, I want to do this. I want to get in entertainment.
It's just but like
I,
using your voice, isn't it? And it's like being on as well.
Yeah. And I didn't want to jump because like, as you can imagine in Nebraska, what possibilities through entertainment, I turned down like, news jobs for like small news stations, you know, like to be on TV telling the news or like weather or even sports jobs. I turn down opportunities because if you go that route, then you're jumping from like, well, I'm working in Fargo, North Dakota for a year. I hope I jump to a bigger market. Uh-huh. And then maybe if you're lucky, you move to some town in some suburb of Minneapolis, Minnesota, you know, and then you have to fucking do it. So it's like, I like the performing aspect. I like engaging with people, talking, finding out shit, and just interviewing. And I love like broadcasts. I love broadcasters. I love just the format of it. So, yeah.
Is it the anticipation to like? Because I get a kick from, you know, I was in bands all the way.
Right. Yeah. And school. You grew up playing music. Like that was something I always. Want it. Yeah, sorry.
No, it's and it's that like I get into that flow kind of thing, that flow state when I'm performing, when I'm on a stage, when like attention is given, and like there is something to do with that, like it's not what's the word, like a narcissistic kind of enjoyment. It's
right,
like
right, no.
I have people's attention and I'm doing something that...
That they enjoy.
I enjoy doing
it. Yeah, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
Ultimately is what it should be. If it's other things driving it, then it might not be good.
It's, but the anticipation to that and then like getting in, and like when the light goes on, you know, when the green light and then you go.
Yeah.
It's that, you know?
That like, I can remember even just like, elementary school performances, like, not that I was a big theater kid, I wasn't a thespian by any means.
Right.
At my small high school, we had a musical every other year. So I did two musicals in high school in like show choir. But before that, I didn't take like any classes or do any extracurricular stuff like that. Not even like one acts or speech and debate or anything like that. I just kind of, I don't know. But I can still remember.
Wait, I did do those things at school.
Really?
Yeah.
In that time you were doing it, that really drove you, right? Like, you really enjoyed it. That kind of gauged you more to what potentially shaped who you are today, like how you carry yourself when speaking or just in front of people or just how you interact with people.
Completely.
Right? Like, you know how to form a story if you wanted to tell someone. Like,
I mean, my wife would say I'm bad at telling stories and jokes because I pepper with completely unnecessary details, but... For me, it's like, no, I want to take you there. I want you to experience, like...
Let me paint the picture for you.
I just like saying minutia, because every time I say it, the spelling comes into my head, and I'm like...
M-I-N-U-T-I-A?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
Oh, makes me think of Minute Maid, though, for some reason, too. Minutia. Right. Like, I'm about to spit... Minute Maid. I don't know why.
Wow.
It's like, you see it, I want to say Minute Maid. I want grape soda. I'm just kidding.
Now?
I don't have any. You know, you would get a kick out of this. We have a lemon tree right next there. You can reach
outside
and grab.
Not
just right here, but
oh,
right from the back.
No, actually, we have one inside as well. I was talking about the one outdoor.
Like
yeah.
Through the...
Well, for those who can't see, there is an enormous tree halfway through my apartment.
Yeah, it's growing through. It's like
but
a
that's
wild.
That's actually grapefruit.
It's like a rainforest cafe in here.
Well, Omaha, you don't know about Henry Dorley Zoo. Have you?
Yeah.
Oh my god, dude! So there's a way we gotta cover this because, the universe speaking, like how we met, and now you know where I'm going with this.
No.
So we met working together on a TV show. Then months later, we don't work together anymore, but we're in the same office, same building, see each other every day. And then months later, we're not working together, we don't see each other anymore. And then my girlfriend moves jobs, and our significant others have one very funny thing in common, and that is that they are both...
But female?
Yes, that. Neither of us are gay, because that's we needed to get that across.
Both working in the exact same... office.
Yeah, they're both lawyers.
Like, well, yeah, they're both.
They're
that.
Both lawyers, and now.
But you were like, has your aunt's got a new colleague? And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then this was through texting, so you can never read tone.
I think I managed to convey my tone pretty well, though.
Now, you British folk, I could imagine 8 different ways you're saying
it's
a text.
It's so brown.
I know.
Yeah. Is that?
It's yeah. You guys have so much to
is
you
that,
like.
Non-white.
Yeah,
it's that you can't pick up
mystery,
on.
Really.
Yeah.
When I think of British folk, but our significant others work together now. Used to work together. Now they do. It's how did that?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I mean,
saying.
How does that happen?
I've only just like made
shut
that
up.
Link.
Seriously. shut your ass.
What's the time we got? Oh, it's 10:02. Oh, it was cool. Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, this thing's at 5:45, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It said like get there half an hour early.
Cool.
Something like maybe in 10 minutes.
Oh, cool.
We'll
cake.
Head that way. I didn't bring a car.
That's fine.
So
is it easiest to? We could probably drive mine
or
Uber.
With life.
Did you ever like? This was in February.
I prefer Lyft.
That's what I was just gonna ask you. Yeah. I was like, because there was the whole like CEO of Uber was part of Trump's administration or financial advisor or something, senior advisors or something.
Something like that.
He was a senior advisor or something like that, and then the whole delete hashtag Uber thing came about, and I did it at first, but then I was in Houston, Texas.
And you were like,
Oh, there's no Lyft here.
Capitalism prevails.
Looks like I need to download Uber again.
Yeah.
That seriously happened.
Exactly.
I was like, oh, I'm all about fuck Uber.
About fuck.
#delete Uber. Not when you're in a city that doesn't have Lyft,
exactly.
Though. Capitalism for the win.
Yeah.
What's the scoreboard now? Capitalism, 1 billion, trillion.
Well, pretty much.
Local shops, zero.
Local
biz.
Mom and pop,
zero.
Oh.
They just grow up so fast, and then you go off to, and then we'll never see you again.
What are you talking about?
Mom and pop, you know, they take care of you, and then you're gone.
Oh, Buddy Boots is getting restless.
Buddy Socks, he's just burped. He burped.
Was that one?
Yeah. They say your dog starts to look like you, but I think I'm starting to act like him.
You're starting to act like your dog?
Mm-hmm.
Like, scratching behind you, like, licking your balls and stuff?
Oh, all of it. Like,
get your leg up there.
Piss on myself sometimes, then lick it off. All of it. It's rough. Pun!
That was so bad.
You're laughing. It wasn't that bad.
I always think of The Simpsons when he says that. The steak was... help me out here. And he goes, rough. He goes, yeah, you've been pitching that one for hours. And he goes, what else have you got? And he goes, chewy.
That was one of my favorites. Did you watch Love? Judd Apatow's Netflix series. Paul Rust. No. The girl, I can't think of her name, from Community. And it's a really funny show.
Didn't watch it.
There's one joke in the second season. Yeah, I was...
right?
Mm-hmm.
Just one joke.
Yeah, it was... Anything else was overkill, you know. The one joke crushed. It was, I turned off after the opening credits. It's like, that was funny. Pete, yeah. How can they follow that off?
Good night.
There was one joke they had in the second season. The guy is a nerdy, like, comedic fan, works in entertainment, and the girl, she didn't watch The Simpsons growing up, and he said something along the lines of, like, that'd be like if The Simpsons was never invented. And he's like scoffing at his own thing he said. And she just looks at him like, what? And he goes, and then he like freaks out that she didn't acknowledge, like, if The Simpsons weren't a thing, society would be weird.
It would.
It would be weird.
It's like Seinfeld.
It is like Seinfeld. I can
see the logic in that. See, this is a joke.
It plays out a lot better visually than me explaining it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like it's gonna...
Maybe I zoned out for a second.
Easily. I'm sure if you were listening to this for the second time on the recording, you'd probably... this is that part I'm gonna...
I'll be going through doing...
I was thinking about that thing at this point. I'm gonna think about that some more. I'll
be going through doing the leveling, like the mastering or whatever. And, sorry, I just got distracted by this Aleve advert.
Ooh, looks good.
There's so much product placement in this episode of the Chris Chamberlain podcast. I haven't done this in probably a year.
I've never podcasted.
You've never podcasted?
I've never. Well, did radio shows. I did radio shows, kid. I did the real thing.
I was thinking about radio.
Oh, this thing about radio, hear?
Something similar to this podcast and radio is that no one's listening.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it's like, it's a weird thing to do because, like, I think it's called the Kuleshov effect, which is where you're conscious that you're being recorded.
Oh.
And so you act differently. And it's a good thing to do to, like, to practice as a performer.
Right.
And to practice as being present as well. I find that quite fun. And listening, yeah. Because otherwise, like, you'll tell a joke about something, some Jeff Apatow.
Some Jeff Apatow, yeah. You weren't listening. See,
I got the name
Jeff
wrong on purpose.
Apatow. Oh, that was funny.
That was the joke.
That's
good. Oh, God.
That's going to play well again.
Jeff
you listen to that again.
Oh, I've never heard of him. It's 2017.
That'd be a good joke.
Yeah. Thanks, Danny. You can write that one. You can have that. Do you remember when I used to make terrible jokes?
Yeah, and say, yeah, you can use that. I've done so many more open mics now. Like, I
should come to one
and
like, tell the audience about
it. Yeah, I'll give you a preview of some of these jokes.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah, dude. And I'm like filling this bitch up.
How do you pronounce that book?
A moleskin?
Yes, thank you.
What do you hear?
I've heard people call them molluskine.
No, you haven't.
Moleskinny.
What? Are these British people?
No.
What?
Of course they are.
Oh, it's a moleskinny.
We know. That's not how... Hello, mate.
Oh! Oh, I forgot my pen for my moleskinny. Right. I will have you know, it is May 11th of 2017. And this moleskin is way over half full. You can see that right?
But when did you start writing in it?
Oh, that's the funny part. I got this, my first was August 25th, and I received it December
2015.
This is from my mentor, man. Make it matter, make memorable moments.
There's a lot of M's in there, and it was your mentor.
And that's Matt McKay. You think I just made that up, and I didn't.
What's his middle name?
Mitchell.
His dad's name is...
Are you ready for these Michael. Hilarious jokes? This is just a dumb one. Like, when I do open mics, I saw Steve Martin say in a trailer for his comedy class. In his trailer for his comedy class, he goes, "I hate it when comedians say, 'How you doing?' to the crowd. You already lost your first opportunity," or something like that. So, like, now I just never say, like, "How you guys doing? Mm-hmm. Hey, how's it going?" So I always try and start with some dumb joke that'll get a pun laugh or something like that. So I wrote this today after skimming through Facebook, and someone posted something.
Scamming someone on Facebook
yeah. after skimming, yeah. yeah. So there's my skim joke from Facebook. Former governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, deals with relentless anxiety. You know, he has a medicinal card. I'll be back.
Because he's stoned.
Yeah, because he would smoke... weed in your...
Don't
use that one.
Don't close with that one.
Wait, it's not a closer, for sure. That one's not a closer. But no, I have been doing... I've made it... When I first moved out to Los Angeles, I had done 0 open mics. 0 stand-up. I've now done 17 open mics. Yeah, I've been hitting it a lot harder. Like, I have, like, 5 minutes put together now. I'm ready to start hitting shows. I've been networking, too, with, like, comedians.
It's definitely a hustle, and it seems like, especially in LA and a lot of the podcasts I listen to or the shows that are on TV, like the few, because there's a lot of comedy. There's a lot
of
like,
it's everywhere.
Netflix comedy.
Even CISO, like some NBC little streaming, or it's NBC or CBS has like
right.
a little specific comedy streaming service now right. that are like, small comedy projects that aren't on cable network, but people will still watch it.
Right. I think with the success of Funny or Die as well,
right.
the amount of people that watch that, they probably saw that there's like more of a business model in sort of just setting up things that are like have low overhead, but it's just offering content because people want to watch it from different platforms.
Have you been watching a lot of comedy at all? Or any that is a poorly structured. Have you been watching any comedy lately? A lot of comedy at all?
A lot of comedy at all.
A lot of comedy at all?
At all.
At all?
At all what?
At all. Did you see the troll? Did you pay the toll? How did you get in here?
There was a toll.
Buddy! Stop him!
Attack. Oh,
he's getting up. Mike's safe.
He's coming back.
Oh, he forgot his fanny pack.
His fanny pack.
Strapless fanny pack. It's the new rage. They're calling him... handbags.
You know what fanny is in England, right?
A butt?
Nah.
A nanny?
Nah. It's like a lady's front bum.
A fupa?
a fanny is a vagina in England.
Yeah, a fupa.
Yeah, a fupa.
Do you know what that is?
No. Well, I do now.
Get ready to live. No, it's like NASA, an acronym. Fat upper pussy area. Fupa. You're welcome.
I can add that one to my repertoire.
Yep, there you go. Give that in your 5 minutes, kid. It's great. It's gold. That stuff, they'll laugh every goddamn time. I swear to God.
Well, what comedy have I watched recently? I've been watching Crashing now.
Great show.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, I just got to the point where he sort of seemed to be making some headway.
Right.
And he got, like, that gig doing being the warm-up guy.
Yep. Which is really cool. Like, that's a...
He seems really happy. Like, I felt, like, genuinely good for him. Yeah. Because he seemed to, like, have found something that works for him.
Mm-hmm. And it's geared towards doing comedy.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, like, conducive of bettering your career.
So you haven't watched the whole season?
No, not yet.
Oh, man.
Watching that, Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley is so good.
Dave Chappelle's LA.
Did you watch
one?
Both of them?
No.
Oh.
Just the LA
Houston's...
one.
Funnier.
Yeah?
I think so.
I really like
it. LA's really funny.
Never watched any of his stuff, mainly because I got fed up with people...
Really? Just always imitating it?
Yeah. And I was like, probably not for me if this idiot likes it.
No. That's the thing, though. He's that funny. Everyone. Yeah, yeah. And it's like... My girlfriend hadn't watched any... She'd never seen the Chappelle Show. She had never watched any of his specials. So I had her watch the most recent one. And I felt like... His first one, the LA one, it takes a minute for him to get in a flow or like just start hitting. And I was watching with my girlfriend. And I was like, he's the funniest fuck. You just keep watching, and then
he's so relaxed.
And then she watched his old HBO Killing Him Softly, and then he has an even older half hour special on HBO where he's just so good. I don't know. But I mean, he's just like a the Chappelle Show, you need to watch it. There's a reason the guy is so infamous the way he is.
Right.
Like the way his clout, like even the way when he had his whole issue, because like he just blew up popularity like that.
Right.
Because his show was only on for 2 seasons.
Right.
It got so out of hand, even for him, just the celebrity status, that he famously ran away to Africa. But that was only a 2-week stint. He was gone. Then he came back. But that got blown up so huge. But, like, he just got, like, what you just said, the Rick James stuff, like, he got tired of people yelling that in his face. Yeah. So, like, then he disappeared for, like, 10 years.
That's something that, like, Ricky Gervais kind of talks about, is, like, the catchphrase culture and, like, creating a devil, not, you know, like...
And he did it every week. Kind of every week, everyone would be saying the thing he did. Like, he was... That show was so... I can remember in middle school, like, the next day at school was on Wednesday nights, and then you'd go Thursday, and you're like, it's Tuesday or Wednesday's fuck. But you know you're going to be talking about Chappelle's Show, because it was so funny. Yeah, that guy was...
I remember that. I remember a video taping something, a comedy show that everyone would be talking about at school the next day, and I wasn't allowed to stay up late, so I'd record it and watch it in the morning.
Really? What was it?
Harry Enfield and Chums, which, like, now looking back is so pretty asinine, really. It's pretty kind of, it's goofy, it's silly comedy, it's not massively sophisticated, but it's kind of funny. There's parts in it that are just like silly, but I don't know, it was kind of character, it was sketches with characters that would recur each week. That's a lot of, like, British comedy, similar to the Chappelle Show kind of model. But and then everyone would be quoting it, so you had to be, like, in the know. You had to watch it at night. And I'd watch it in the morning. I'd, like, that was my homework.
Show up to school so kids wouldn't be like,
yeah,
the fuck were so you doing like,
yeah,
last
yeah,
night?
Right.
What, were you playing video games or something, you idiot?
Yeah.
Just kidding. Louis C.K.'s latest special on Netflix?
I watched a bit of it.
It's... Dude, he's so dark. It's so...
Yeah.
I mean, like, only him can... He can do it that way, and it's...
I like dark comedy.
I do, too. Like, you told me... I watched Tom Segura after you were telling me to watch him. That guy's really... Yeah. I feel like I don't even feel like I deserve to talk about comedy, you know? I feel like I'm, like, an outsider.
But that's because you're...
trying to do it.
Yeah.
I don't feel like who am I to say or, you know, critique other people's
shit?
Well,
that's the balance of being like a performer and a consumer.
Right.
You know, you can still like it's that, and that's the thing about comedy as well. It's like music. It's more like comedy and music go way back. A lot of bands in and like Bill Hicks used to open for musicians. They'd do that, and one of my favorite comedians in England is Stuart Lee, and he used to open up for bands kind of
thing.
A lot of comedians that would open up for music acts.
Well, that's big today again,
and it's
like
really?
There's festivals that comedians will be at, do their time, and then a band comes up after them. Like it's a pretty
like
big
a
thing
separate,
today
not like a separate tent where there's like comedians
real here. Comedians like there's a festival going on, well I guess that's an all comedian festival in San Francisco in June, I think, but like no, there's like Hannibal Buress is on some tour or doing some festival where it's a bunch of musicians and then he'll come up. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty common thing now. Like, the comedy scene is just huge.
Yeah, but it's, what I mean is it's very,
it's
pretty subjective.
Yeah,
it's like
in Vergelli, they go back
yeah.
a
but
while. Anyway.
What I mean, like, were you saying, like, you don't feel like you can have an opinion on it, is, I don't know, you still, it works on such a personal level, and some things can really make you laugh and some things can't, but you need to like be able to, without dissecting it too much, understand why you find that funny.
Right.
And it's almost like knowing about yourself. You're like, oh, I didn't think I'd find that dark joke funny. Oh, I guess, you know, it's,
I do like the dark jokes.
Yeah, I like dark jokes. I got in a really... Actually, what's the time?
Oh, is it... It's 5:07.
We should... okay. We should adjourn this and come back to it. We're going to go see Out the Driving, everyone. It's on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, so... Toodaloo!